Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Dramastology Podcast. So in this episode, I am covering the 2024 currently airing, as of the time of this recording, drama titled Unknown. This is a Taiwanese drama that has aired 4 episodes as of this recording, and I have watched all 4. To get started, I want to give a quick synopsis of what this drama is about. Just a heads up that this is a BL drama, and so the story is basically following the relationship between two guys. But anyway, basically this is a slice of life drama about found family and kind of a love that blossoms from that. At a very young age, Wei Qian, who is played by Chris Chiu, an orphan himself, right, comes across this homeless little boy, Xiao Yuan, played by Kod Hwang. And this is a very prickly little boy. He's on edge and always has his guard up because, again, he's homeless and, you know, we don't really know what his background is. But Wei Qian takes this kid home and basically becomes his older brother, right? Becomes the older brother to this little one and takes care of him alongside his actual blood-related younger sister. Now, as time passes on, Xiao Yuan develops feelings for his older brother that really grows into something that neither of them can ignore. And that's basically the story that we have. That's a quick synopsis, right, of what this story is essentially about. This is a drama adaptation of a book titled Dagge, which basically literally I think means older brother, right? This is a novel by a very popular Chinese novelist called Priest, who also wrote Word of Honor and Guardian, which are also really popular BL adaptation that, you know, obviously were censored really hard, and so you barely see any romance between the characters. It's really just a bromance in that sense. And I mean, these are BL drama adaptations that really ramped up Chinese censorship, right? I think today in 2024, you could not get away with making this kind of drama, right? It's been censored so hard in China that you can't really go far anymore with this kind of drama in China. But Taiwan is a country where it's legal to be gay, you can get married, you know, they don't have that same censorship. And so I think that's how they were able to maybe get the novelist to agree to have it adapted by Taiwan, which makes sense. This is a very good idea, actually, because a lot of Chinese novels that should have adaptations are just censored, and going through Taiwan is a very good alternative. And it's a good collaboration that's coming from these two countries that kind of subverts the harsh censorship that China puts on gay stories and just queer narrative. But anyway, moving on, my reasons for watching this drama, honestly, there isn't really a reason. There is none, actually, because I was going to watch it. I always watch Taiwanese BL. Some of my favorite shows come from Taiwan, because again, no censorship. It's the first Asian country to legalize gay marriage, and so you just know you're getting a good story. And a lot of my favorite shows come from Taiwan. So one of the show just off the top of my head is History 3 Mod C, so Make Our Days Count, is a story that I really, really like, and it is a Taiwanese BL. So really, I was going to check this out regardless, right? And I'm glad I did. Honestly, this might be one of the best BL to come out of Taiwan. This might even be one of the best BLs of this year. I remember when I was covering Love for Love's Sake at the beginning of this year, I mentioned that I don't want to give Love for Love's Sake top spot on my top 3. So I was okay, Love for Love's Sake is on top 10 list of best dramas of 2024 because it's just January, and I made the right choice because this is also going on that top 10 list, and it's only yet 4 episodes, right? This story is just very good. I first give it up to the director and the writers and everything. The cinematography in this, the tone of this drama is just very good, right? And I have also never seen either of the actors that are playing the two leads. And I feel like that adds freshness to the story. This is something I find with a lot of Taiwanese BLs, in that I never know who is who, right? Just because I don't watch enough Taiwanese dramas to begin with. And so it just adds to the freshness of the story, just not knowing who they really are. And so, yeah, there's a lot going on in this story, and I just like the fact that the story aims to capture like the harsh reality of life, especially for kids like Wei Qian, right? Like Wei Qian was not only molested as a kid by his own mother, right? Guys, think about that for a sec. But he also had to join a gang, right, at some point to like provide for like the younger ones he has at home, right? And so he doesn't shy away from telling like real stories about people that just also happen to be gay. Right, if that makes sense. Now, this is one thing I love about like Taiwanese dramas. A majority of their dramas always surround ordinary, normal people, like you and I kind of stories, in a very mundane way that I feel like I don't really see in Korean or Chinese dramas. Like those are always like rich guy, poor girl, or some form of that trope, right? Whereas I think Taiwan has kind of deviated from that, really only outdone by Japan. Japan, I barely ever, if at all, see stories about rich people. Like, if at all, right? And so, this story, I think, shines in a way that, like, it gives you different characters and really makes you want to root for them, right? And so, yeah, that brings me to talk about the characters of people in this drama. Like I mentioned, this drama writes characters in a way that makes you want to root for them. For me personally, Wei Qian is the most compelling character in this. As a young person himself, a young kid himself, you know, he sets out to take care of his family. And I mean, he just has so much goodness, love, loyalty, right? Despite being raised by an abusive mother, right? And like, honestly, I feel like he's had to teach himself how to be a good person and not let his past affect him, right? Because you can tell he's still struggling from that. And I will say that I feel like the existence of his younger sister and having to take care of his younger sister kind of helped cement that personality of just this big brother that, you know, does not want anything bad to happen to his younger sister. And so he just seems like a very good person, right? And not necessarily because he is like particularly kind or anything. He just is a human being, but like he just has that much goodness in him, right? That much responsibility, or this feeling of responsibility in him, that makes him just an amazing character, right? And even though he is a strong character, I will say that for some reason he kind of just like makes me want to like give him a hug, right? It makes you want to protect him, even though like you feel like there's nothing to protect. He is a strong person, he's decisive, knows what he wants and how to do things. But still, like, I feel like he is somebody that's just gone through so much, and I wish he would just be happy, even though he doesn't seem particularly sad, right? And I don't know, there's just that feeling of he's gone through so much and he does not deserve to have gone through that much, right? And I feel like this is in a way the same feeling that Xiaoyuan has for him, just much like a stronger sense of that and like a more visceral sense of that, of like he really wants to, you know, be there for Wei Qian, right? And so, yeah, moving on to Xiaoyuan, I feel like he's also very interesting, and I kind of understand where his feelings for Wei Qian comes from in that sense, in that this is a boy that had nothing, right? Living on the streets, and Wei Qian picks him up and takes him in, right? He watches like Wei Qian fight for him in a way that nobody really ever has, right? And so it's not really shocking that he falls for him, because I think part of it is that he wants to be stronger for this person that is willing to go through such great lengths, right, for him. Not many people have that. And for someone like Xiaoyuan, right, this is important. And you have to, like, think of it, like, try and juxtapose this with someone like Lily, his, like, blood, like, Wei Qian's blood-related younger sister, who does not recognize and does not see what her brother does for her, right? She doesn't see that special. Not that it's bad or anything, but, you know, that's all because Wei Qian is actually our older brother, right? So of course to how he'd do this, of course he'd take care of her, of course he'd work hard and do all these things for her. It's almost just like a matter of fact, right? Whereas for Xiaoyuan, I feel like he's acutely aware of the fact that he has no blood relationship with Wei Qian, and yet like Wei Qian is going through this much for him, right? And I think that is one characteristic that makes him fall for Wichen almost immediately, right? I also think another reason, and this is where I guess I understand people's apprehension with their romance and their relationship, given the dynamic that they have. I think another reason he falls for Wichen is because he's had no one else. He's had no one else to compare anything with. Everything in his life is surrounded by Wichen, right? And I mean, neither of them have had people really. Wichen also has never had anyone. But I feel like Xiaoyan in particular, given that he's the younger one in this like dynamic, you know, he went from a kid that was hiding in the dark to being welcomed into the light, kind of in a... There are two scenes that come to mind when I talk about this, in that in episode one, there's that scene where Wichen is standing above him and he stretches out his hand, almost akin to a lifeline to Xiaoyan, right? There's also that scene in episode two where young Xiaoyan is crouched by the door after having followed Wichen home, right? And you can kind of see the darkness that surrounds him with like cloth on his back. And you hear Wichen telling Lily that Xiaoyan should come in. And like the way Xiaoyan just gets up and kind of like opens, is it the curtain or the door? I can't recall. And just walks in. It was very like almost poetic to me, right? And so really his whole world, I feel like any good thing that's ever happened to him has come from Wichen. So he has no one else, right? And this is a problem that should be addressed. Especially because I feel like for Wichen, he might feel like this is the reason that Xiaoyan falls for him, right? Right? It's basically the same principles that apply when people talk about grooming and like why I understand why people have gripes with this drama, right? While it's not intentional, right? This almost imprinting, because again, Xiaoyan has never known love or kindness from anyone else. How can you be sure it's real love, right? That's the argument. And I understand and kind of agree with that argument, right? And so, I mean, spoilers for those who have not seen the long trailer of this. There's a really long trailer on YouTube that you can check out. But if you've not seen that spoiler, you might want to click off. But this is why I think it's good that Wichen kind of rejects him and sends him abroad, right? Because I feel like sending him abroad, right? Sending Xiaoyan abroad gives him a chance to broaden his horizon. Right now, if he gets abroad, sees the world, maybe sees other people, sees how things are, sees that there's no one really like Wichen, and he still decides to come back and be with Wichen, I mean, which we know he will do, right? Then I kind of accept it and I'm kind of okay with that, right? And I also feel like it's just a good way to give Wichen space, because I feel like Wichen needs that space to think things through and kind of reorient himself, whether consciously or unconsciously, I don't know, to the fact that like Xiaoyan is now a grown man that like wants him and wants to be with him, and not just that kid that I feel like Wichen kind of still sees him as, right? And in that way, I will say that I feel like both actors are just knocking it out of the park, right? As of episode four, Wichen, I feel like, is beginning to sense that there's a change in Xiaoyan, because again, Xiaoyan is not being subtle with this like googly eyes and just touches that he gives Wichen, right? And so I'm really loving it. Their chemistry is amazing, right? It's just it's breathtaking, right? It's just like very good, right? I will be honest in saying that like I was really worried about the transition of the actor that plays Xiaoyan, right, from the child one to the adult one, because I feel like the child one really shined, right? Like it fit in just perfectly with the rest of the cast, that I was really worried about what the older actor played by Kod Hwang would be like. But honestly, my worries were unfounded. The essence of how they act remained even when you got that change to like Kowang, right? And so it was just very good. The chemistry is good. It's palpable almost, and you can see the awkward friction that is beginning to develop because of this feeling that Xiaoyan has, and because like Wichen is kind of pulling back from it, right, as best as he can. He tries to pretend in some sense to not be affected by what Xiaoyan is doing, because I can tell he's sensing it, and so he tries to like play it off, but it's beginning to be too much even for Wichen. I can tell. I really like that like scene in episode three where they are lying on the bed, or at least Wichen is lying on the bed, and Xiaoyan comes and just like cuddles him, and he's like always like trying to tell him to move away, that it's hot and everything. That was just one scene that was just like But yeah, like again, just very, very good energy between the two actors, right? They really embodied the two characters, right? And yeah, just mentioning some last few points here. One thing that I also really like, continuing on like character, is other people's character and how they are written in this. From Lily, who is kind of a spoiled brat, but not intentionally so in like a huge way. She's just like a teenager, right, that isn't growing up too fast, as compared to someone like Xia Yuan that I feel like grew up too fast and kind of easily understood Wei Qian's struggles and reasons for doing things. Lily actually stayed young and is growing normally, right, in the way that Wei Qian also did not. And so, you know, I like how they've characterized her as well, because for her it just seems like she has told her brothers and that's it, but she doesn't know actually like the struggle that Wei Qian especially has gone through to make sure their life is the way it is, right? And so I like her character as well. And then also I think it's just very interesting because, like I mentioned at the beginning, that this drama is kind of a slice of life. It's kind of telling you about the harsh reality of things. It also doesn't make people too much of a villain. It kind of gives people good, compelling characterization. So the character of the gang leader of the gang that Wei Qian was previously in, right? When Wei Qian decides he's going to leave, right, and they kidnap his brother, and they're about to like do some gang stuff, maybe beat them blue black, the gang that comes in and he stops it, right? And I just like that scene because it almost put a human side to the gang leader. Almost like, even for him, he's like, this is too much, right? Why the young kid, right? It's like he could almost maybe see himself in Wei Qian, maybe, right? That's kind of how I read it, right? He felt that this is too much, right? And so, you know, he chastised his like underling that, like, oh, you think you are like the smartest, or like you think you are the best, right? Because again, I think for him, he's like, I mean, let him work to live, right? Don't like try and ruin the boy's life, right? And so I just like that he obviously built enough sympathy for Wei Qian himself, right, that he let them go. And that was just a really nice touch that I liked, right? He humanized characters that really, they are terrible people, right? They are doing terrible things, but in that moment it showed, I feel like, the power of the writing of this screenwriter. Or, you know, I don't know if this is how Priest wrote it, maybe that's just how it was as well, but yeah, I really like that. And then moving on to the final thing that, you know, really ties this drama for me, the OST. And not just all the OSTs, one specific OST, the intro OST, sung by Chris Chiu, like the main guy that plays Wei Qian, is just so good. And I feel like I have had that song, in fact, I have had that song on repeat for the past like 2 weeks, right? It's so, so good. It has the essence of what this drama is about, I feel like. And I just love that song so much. And I've been listening to it and will probably not stop till this drama ends. And so, yeah, I highly, highly recommend this drama if you've not seen it yet. I don't know why you've not, but if you're a huge fan of BL dramas, this is one that you have to give a try. Like, don't let comments stop you from at least giving it a try, because this drama will convince you of why it's really good, right? And yeah, this is one drama I am really, really enjoying, and I always look forward to a new episode every week. It's a shame Taiwanese dramas don't follow the rest of like East Asia in that, like Japan, I guess, they only air one episode each week, right? Japan also does that, right? I guess they have a huge similarity, actually, now that I think about it, to like Japanese dramas, in just the way they like do things in their dramas. But yeah, it's only once a week, and it's so difficult to wait each week, and so I just go back and watch like the old episodes again and again. But yeah, I highly, highly recommend this drama. It's very good and it deserves all the love, honestly. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. This was a good drama to cover. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Have a nice day. Bye.